Today's daf is daf Kuf Tes Zion in Zvachim. A couple more days until we finish the Masechta. We got to the bottom yesterday of Kuf Tes Vav Amid Beis, and we will continue. We are exploring the Mishnah, going through the Mishnah and going through point by point by the Mishnah. We are now at the second half of the Mishnah and the second half of the Perek. First half of the Perek was a continuation of the 13th Perek. 13th Perek dealt with the Isur Meshchut Echutz and Halab Echutz. And now we make the change and we go and discuss the sugya of Bamas Yachid versus Bamas Sibur. Individual Bama versus a communal Bama. When we went into Eretz Yisrael, we conquered for 14 years and divided the land. So we had a Bamas Yachid, we were allowed to offer karbanos in our backyard. The Mishnayos, however, go even earlier than that. The Mishnah was discussing what happened before the Mishkan was built. So the Mishnah, according to the Mishnah describes the following. Now, Shalohu Kama Mishkan, I'm just reviewing the Mishnah. I'll do so quickly, and then we're going to go right into the Gemara. Shalohu Kama Mishkan, Hayu Abamos Mutarim. So the Abamos were mutter before the Mishkan was built. Meaning, we're talking about in the desert. We're talking about after Mamad Har Sinai. So the Mishkan was, before the Mishkan, the Abamos were mutter. Avodah beBechoros. Now, who did the Avodah? So the Mishnah tells us, Bechor, firstborn did the Avodah, as was the original plan. Vishokam and Mishkan, but once the Mishkan was built, Nesra Abamos for Avodah beKohanim. So Abamos become Aser, and the Avodah is done by the Kohanim. Kachikashin Echolim Lefnim, and the Kohanim Kachin Kalim Bechomach and Yisrael. Okay, and the Mishnah goes on. Okay, so we are in the Gemara.
Can I ask a question? 52 years, where do I find that?
You're looking Tanakh for those 52 years. You won't find it in Tanakh. Okay. It's part of the Torah Shebaal Peh. Amar Mar, three lines from the bottom of the Amud on Kuf Tes Vav Amud Beis, and we are starting in the Gemara. Amar Mar, Ha'akok Shem Lahakriv, Menahani Mili. So, as far as before the Mishkan was built, so the Mishnah told us that you could offer anything you want. Anything that moves. All animals, all wild animals, all birds. I mean, there was no there was no distinction between kosher, non-kosher animals. None of that existed. So you could offer anything you want. How sherim lehakri menahani mili amar Rav Huna amar Krava even noach mizbech l'shem yikach mikol behemah taro mikol ofa tahor. So the so he took every behemah. Kol behemah tahora, every pure animal.
Wait, but it had to be a kosher animal?
Oh, well, hold it. So mikol behemah tahora, mikol ofa tahor. And every kosher bird. So behemah kamashma'o. So first of all, behemah, we don't need to darshan behemah. Behemah means all domesticated animals. Chaya, what about the non-domesticated animals? What about tzviva ayal, deer and gazelle and all those animals like that? So the Gemara says, chaya b'chla behemah. Oh yeah, but when we say behemah, we mean all animals, all large animals, all domesticated, undomesticated animals. Chaya is part of behemah. Rashi quotes pasuk from Parshas Re'eh. The Achsiv, the pasuk says, "Zos behemah." I'm reading the last Rashi in the Amud. Zos behemah asher tochlu v'smichlei ayal v'tzvi v'yachmor. Okay, so if you look in Parshas Re'eh, you'll see very clearly that when after the Torah saying, "Here's behemah," and then the Torah goes and lists what animals which we would call chayas, which mean it's all the same. So it's all part of the category behemah. Zechar munakevos, tavet tamimum, bale momim. So you can offer male animals, female animals, non-blemished animals, even blemished animals. So in other words, before the Mishkan, there really was very little requirement, minimum requirement in order to be offered as a karban. In fact, not very little, almost no requirement. It could be any animal, male, female, even a blemished animal, skip parentheses, lafuki mechusar eva. The only thing you had, the animal had to be, was it had to have all four limbs on it. It had to have every one of the evarim. How do I know that mechusar eva is prohibited for b'nei noach to offer as a karban? Tamalomar mikol achai, mikol basar. Kol achai, kol basar. Amra Torah, havei behima. Shechayin Rashi Evarin Shalah. The word chai, live animals. Of course, it's a live animal. What other animal are we talking about? So the Gemara darshins that the word chai over here means shechayin Rashi Evarin, meaning that not just the animal is alive, but it has all four limbs on it. Okay. So v'dilma l'mutei treifa. So the Gemara says, I don't know. Maybe the word chai over here is to be mamai treifa, meaning what Noah cannot take on the teva is a treifa. Hum lechayos zerenafka. So the Gemara says no, because we also know that part of the criteria, part of the prerequisite of coming onto the teva, is that you have to have lachay or zeri, you have to progenate. And so if you're a treifa, so you can't create progeny. So the Gemara says, not so fast, that's not so simple. Hanich laman damar treifa, you know your lettuce. Alaman damar treifa, your lettuce, ma'ikal ha-meimer. There's a machlokas in Chulin. We will see, not that long from now. The machlokas in Chulin tells, the Gemara in Chulin tells us that there is a debate amongst, I think it's Tanaim. I don't remember. Okay, but it's a machlokas over there in the Gemara in Chulin that is a treifa able to create progeny, subject to a debate. Again, kipshuta, the simple pshat, that machlokas is machlokas of mitzius. It's a factual machlokas, although you know we like to avoid that. But okay, it seems to be a factual machlokas whether or not a treifa can actually create progeny. So if you're of the opinion that a treifa cannot create progeny, so then you're good. So then lahachayot zera is coming to be mamai treifa. It comes to exclude treifa. But if you're of the opinion that a treifa can produce progeny, so then you could be a treifa and you could still create the next generation. So the Gemara says, Michael Amemar, Hamar Kra, Itcha B'dom Amlach. So the Gemara says, well, the Pasuk says, Itcha, they're going to be with you. And the Gemara Darshan, Itcha means Dom Amlach. I mean, they have to be like you. Noach, you're not a treifa, so the animals that come on board also can't be a treifa as well. The Dilma Noach Gufei Treifa, however, the Gemara makes a suggestion that maybe Noach was a treifa. So the Gemara says, no, it can't be Tamim Ksiv Bey. Now, all this should sound really familiar, by the way, because we did this Gemara not that long ago in Avodah Zarah. Every step of the Gemara over here is word for word what we saw together in Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, no, Noach was a Tamim. He was a complete individual.
He had children, so how can...
Well, he had children before he went on the Teva. So maybe after the children, he became a Treifa. Right? You want to ask me another question? Which Tosus over here is bothered by. I'll get to Tosus in just a moment. He lived 300 years after the Mabul.
Right.
hard to call him a treifa when he lives for 300 years. I'll get to Tosus in just a moment. That's okay, that's true, and it's a good question. Okay, I know. Now you're...
He would have lived another time.
Now you're peeking at Tosos. Okay, fine. So it's good. It's the last Tosos on the Amud. So anyway, so Noach Gufei Treifa. So the Gemara makes a suggestion. Noach's a Treifa. So the Gemara says, no, Tamim Ksiv Bey. No, he's not a Treifa. It says Tamim. He's a perfect individual. So the Gemara says, V'doma Tamim B'derachav. Tamimus doesn't have to mean he's physically perfect. Tamim means... Right, that he's a bedrachav. He's a mensch. So tzaddik sibbe, the Gemara says, no, we already know he's a mensch because the Torah describes him as a tzaddik. The Dilma, the Gemara says, no, maybe they're referring to two aspects of his personality. Tamim bedrachav, meaning in his behavior, he's... No, behavior is not the right way to say it. His traits, his character traits. I like that. That's better. V'dilma tamim b'derachav, maybe in his character traits, he's tamim and tzaddik b'masav. And in his action, he's a tzaddik, right? Sometimes you find people who, you know, in terms of hashkafa is right on the money, and in terms of their actions is, you know, not right on the money. So Noach was both. He was both in his character traits and in his maisim, he was perfect. So that's what the Torah is referring to, and the Gemara is now still entertaining the idea that Noach was a treifa. So Isa kadach and Noach gufei treifa hava. The Gemara says, if that's what you're entertaining, mi karmelei la Noach de kavaseh chayo shlamim lo ta'ayo. So the Gemara shlamim lo ta'ayo. So the Gemara says it's unreasonable. It's so unreasonable to suggest that what Noach was doing, what the instructions were from Hashem is, look, Noach, you're a treifa. I want you to only bring treifa animals on board with you onto the table. Gemara says it's just too unreasonable. It's too difficult a suggestion. So therefore, we're going to assume that Noach was not a treifa, and all the animals that came on board also were not a treifa as well. Okay, so now itach, we're going to go back and we're going to assume that Noach was not a treifa. The animals that came on board with him also were not a treifa. So fine, so if the animals are not a treifa, what does the Torah instructing Noach when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says lachi of zera, so that in order to progenate, obviously they're not a treifa for the animals. So the Gemara says lamali ma'od detema itach lipsav seba'ama. I don't know. The Gemara says maybe Noach would have thought that the animals on board were pets. You know, I know people who like pets. You know, who people who like dogs and like cats, and we got talked into gerbils.
Running all over the house.
Two of them. So, not yet. Okay. Well, I'm hoping. So the let's stop. And I might have thought that Noach's instructions to bring the animal on board were just stop sabama, were just company. So I feel zakin, I feel stress, and you can get any animal you want, an older animal, that's fine, right? Go to the kennel and get an older dog, and that would have been fine. And thus says kamash malan, that's the chiddush, meaning that in addition to the animals not being a treifa, please understand, Noach, that the whole purpose of bringing these animals on board is so that after I destroy the whole world, you're going to come off the teva, and every animal is going to continue, and we do not want the extinction of any animal. Okay, good. For a couple lines of Gemara, the Gemara is entertaining the notion that Noach was a treifa, right? And that's difficult. That's extremely difficult. As I mentioned just a couple moments ago, Noach lived till a ripe old age of... What do you live to?
609
or something.
965.
No,
it was 600
in
the
art.
It's like
900. Okay. Those of you listening at home, push the pause button. Well, that's not going to help. I should push the pause button. I don't know how to. Noach lived after the flood. Here we go. Vehiko, you may Noach, Shame Oshana Vechamishim Shana Vehamos. 950. Okay. We should have all known that. Myself first. 950.
Okay. The lion
got him. That's correct. And his kids got to him. That's also correct. So, but still, Tosis asked such a basic question. Right? What's the whole idea of treifa? The whole idea of treifa is that you get an internal organ that's punctured or severed, and you're critical. It's a critical condition, and you're going to die. So are you going to last for 12 months? Are you going to not last for 12 months? Sir, the machlok is in the Gemara and Chulin over there. But the whole idea is that you're in critical condition, you're going to die. So how can the Gemara even entertain the idea that Noach was a treifa if he lived for hundreds of years after the Mabul? Tosfos asks this question. Look to the bottom, Tosfos on the page. Dama Noach gufa treifa haba. So he lived for 300 years afterwards. More than 300 years. But, okay, you know, we're rounding off. So, okay, so Tosfos says that, right, pretty much what Michael just suggested, that he didn't have the koach, meaning that he lived after the Mabul, but it wasn't with the same vigor and it wasn't with the same energy. And... Right, I mentioned just a moment ago, very quickly in passing, that the Gemara and Chulin has a debate whether Treifa will live beyond 12 months or not. And obviously, in this answer, you're going to have to say that Treifa Chaya, that Treifa does in fact live. So what you'll say is that his quality of life diminished after the Mabul. Rabbeinu Tam haya ragel achalik bein Treifas dadan l'Treifas de behema. Oh, and Rabbeinu Tam had an interesting approach, very interesting approach. He says that when we talk about Treifa, there's a treifa animal discussion, and there's a treifa human discussion. And even though we'll use the same terminology, doesn't mean the same thing, says Rabbeinu Tam. The treifa zebehema mishum de adam islay mazala. Why is it not the same thing? Rabbeinu Tam argues, because we have something that animals do not have, and that's called mazal. And Rabbeinu Tam says that mazal can, in other words, there's a certain physiology, there's a certain biology that applies, and there are laws and rules of biology and physiology, and then on top of that, there's mazal. So a animal is a treifa, and then that's it. He conforms to the rules of nature, and the rules of nature is he's going to die, and he's not going to last 12 months, and that's it. But when you're talking about the human being, the Adam, right, the human species, so there we have mazal, and mazal can sometimes override the biology and the physiology. So we could be a treifa, like the Gemara suggesting Noach is, but mazal is going to override it. Okay, interesting approach by Rabbeinu Tam, and it's a short tosis, but very, very, very good. Let's go back to the Gemara. Tahor Navalot Temein. All right, it says that when you offer carbon before the Mishkan, I know we'd have to go into a time machine in order to do this, but if you want to offer a carbon before the Mishkan, Taharon v'Avolot Tamein, it's got to be Tahor but not Tamei. Now, we know that by Noach, meaning Noah, it was very clear, right? If it's an animal which is Tahora, so that you bring, you know, seven of those animals on board, and you're going to bring some of them as Karbanos, and that's Tahor. And if it's Tamei, so then only a pair of them. So, Tumah Tahara, what does that mean? Now, after the Torah was given, so we know what that means. Kosher versus non-kosher animals. Right? Tumah V'Tahara. By the way, just people should know. The Torah describes Tumah Tahara in two contexts. One context in terms of purity and impurity, and another context in terms of kosher versus non-kosher. Even in Parshas Re'eh and in Parshas Shmini, which we're going to be reading in just a couple of weeks, so the Torah describes kosher and non-kosher in terms of Tumah Tahara. So, but still, before Mamad Har Sinai, before the Torah was given, so who knew about kosher versus non-kosher? So, me have a tamei matarim by yishaita. The Gemara asks exactly this question, right? It's a simple question. Ask it at your Shabbos table. Parshas Noach, right? What does that mean? Noach brought kosher animals on board. So, I'm Rav Shmuel bar Nachman. I'm Rav Yonos. I'm Yosin Shalom Nevda ben Aveira. Oh, so the distinction between tahara and einenu tahara by Noach is animals that were involved in bestiality, animals that were not involved in bestiality, right? We know one of the reasons why the whole Dor HaMabul was destroyed was because of their commitment to illicit behavior, immoral behavior, and the animals also were involved as well. So any animal that was involved in an avera cannot go onto the boat. So Minahavi Yadeh, so I'm going to ask the obvious question. Noah's going to know he's going to have a biographical sketch. He's going to have the animals present to him like a, like a resume. Right there. So how is Noah going to know? So Rav Chista, Damar Rav Chista, Ha'evim lefnei ha'teva kol she'ha'teva kol ta'asan, b'yadushu ta'or, and ha'teva kol ta'asan, b'yadushu she'hein t'me'in. The teva is going to tell him. Right, teva will only absorb those animals that were tahora. So Rabbi Abba Amar Amakra Abum Zecharna Keva Havian Me Alehen. Another approach to the Gemara is that the animals came on their own, meaning Noach didn't have to go through any type of screening process. The animals that came on their own, and the Ratzon HaBarei, Kadosh Baruch Hu had it that only the animals that were fit to be brought on, only those animals came. Self-selecting screening process. Amar Amar V'Akol Karvu Olos. Okay, in the Mishnah, it says that any carbon that was brought before the Mishkan was built was a carbon ola. No such thing as shlamim. Okay, olos in shlamim lo. V'haksiv. So there's going to be a number of difficulties with this. The pasuk says, we quoted this pasukim just the other day, Friday. V'yizbichu zvachem shlamim laHashem. So parim. So it says at the end of Parshas Mishpatim that they offered Zvachim Shlamim LaHashem. So Ela Ema Akol Karvu Olos Ushlamim. Okay, so the Gemara says, you're right, they offered Shlamim, and we're going to have to read the Mishnah Olos Ushlamim. So the Gemara says, no, it can't be. The Atanya we learned in the Braisa, Ava Shlamim Lo Kiim Olos. It says in the Braisa very clearly that they only offered Olos and not Shlamim. Olos and Shlamim Lo. So the Gemara says, "Command Amar Lo Kirvu Shlamim LeBnei Noach." So the Gemara says like this: for Bnei Noach cannot offer Shlamim. Bnei Noach can only offer Olos. And then once the Jews came at Mamad Har Sinai, so then Jews were allowed to offer Shlamim. Okay, what's the svara behind that? So I'd like to hear one. Meaning I don't have a good svara in terms of why Bnei Noach only brought a carbon ola, not a carbon shlamim. So I'm in the market for a good svara. But shlamim also could be voluntary.
But then you get some benefit from shlamim.
I understand. So right, and then you got to connect. I mean, so you're right. You benefit from shlamim. So why? And Bnei Noach can't benefit from the carbon, right? Okay. So we got to work on it. I got to work on it.
It seems no.
It seems that Ben Noach is only limited to bringing carbon ola.
But a non-Jew not just can't bring shlamim either, right?
A non-Jew, no. They could. A non-Jew could bring, right? To the Beis HaMikdash.
Can they bring shlamim?
Could they bring shlamim?
No, they can't.
I don't know. I don't remember.
They try to bring.
They could bring. No, they're allowed to bring voluntary offerings. A non-Jew is allowed to bring voluntary offerings to the Beis HaMikdash.
Shlomim too.
I'm not sure.
I should know that. Maybe that's the reason.
I'm not sure.
Well, what did they try to bring when we had the Chorban Avayis and some.
Oh, that was the pig. That was right. That was the story with the pig. He wanted to bring a pig, and pig stuck its fingernails into the ground. Okay, but that's okay. In my Rav Elazar, Rav Yosef, Rav Chanin, Echad Amar Kirvu Shlomim Bnei Noach, Echad Amar Lo Kirvu. Okay, and it's a debate, and the Gemara presents it as a machlokes. This is machlokes Amarayim, whether or not Bnei Noach are allowed to bring shlamim. My time and demand Amar Kirvu Shlomim. And what's the reason? Why is it that they're allowed to bring shlamim? Bnei Noach Tichtiva Hevel Hevi Gam Humi Becharetz Arno Michel Vehen Hevel, right? Second generation of humanity. Right, so he brought me bechorat sonu. Now he brought the firstborn of his sheep. Now the Torah does not say whether it was an ol or a shlamim. The Gemara is going to deduce that it was a shlamim. How? What's the deduction? Ezu davar shechel bo krav legabe mizbeach. So, which karban has chalev? Now every animal has chalev, but the point is, which karban do you separate the animal? Part of the animal, the chalev of the animal, the fats of the animal that go up onto the mizbeach, and the rest of it's consumed. So the answer is shlamim. So the Gemara now is deducing that what Hevel must have brought was the shlamim. The ain kulo krav legabe mizbeach. Hevel is a shlamim. So that's the argument that what Hevel brought is a shlamim. Now Hevel for sure is a ben Noach. Now I know, we all know, literally he wasn't the ben Noach. He was generations before Noach was. But in other words, ben Noach is a category. Right, and we all understand that. Ben Noach is a category. It means simply the Umos Olam, the nations of the world. So Hevel at this stage, at this very nation stage of humanity, he brought a shlamim. So Mayin Tamei Deman Damar Lo Kirvu Dichtiv. So the Gemara says he's going to quote a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Interestingly enough, where the pasuk in Shir HaShirim is going to tell us that they can't bring shlamim, the Umos HaOlam, the Bnei Noach. The pasuk says Uri Tzafon Uvo Teiman. Right, Uri Tzafon, wake up the north, Uvo Teiman, Titna Er Uma, and the Gemara darshan's like this: Titna Er Uma Shemasebet Tzafon, V'Tavo Uma Shemasebet Tzafon V'Daron. Nations of the north. What does that mean? Nations of the north. Nations who are only able to bring karbanos that are of a northern nature. That's a karbanola. Karbanola can only be shecht in the north of the Azara. Right? So those nations are going to be titna'er, they're going to get shaken out, I mean they're going to leave Eretz Yisrael. And who's going to come into Eretz Yisrael? The nation who is north and south. North meaning Karban Ola, south meaning Karban Shlamim. So our distinction between the other nations of the world is that they're just a northern nation, meaning they're just an Ola nation, and we're an Ola and Shlamim nation. Okay, so it's Jewish, obviously, right? It's Jewish from the Pesukim Shir HaShirim, but it speaks to the idea that they don't bring a Karban Shlamim. Omar Nami Aksiv Mechel Behem. So the Gemara says, what is the Ish Man Damar going to do with the other Pasuk? So the Gemara says, Mishmanem Didu. No, the Pasuk, the Pasuk of Chel Behem means Ish Manem. But so what? In other words, it just simply means that you offer the Chelav onto the Beis HaMikdash, and you offer the rest of the animal on the Beis HaMikdash as well. So the Gemara says, now what about the other mandamar? The mandamar of Uri Tzafon, so he's going to tell you that the Uri Tzafon has nothing to do with Karbanos and the bringing of Karbanos. It has to do with Kibbutz Galios. Okay. The ingathering of the exiles. And Uri Tzafon means all the Jews that are scattered all over the world, to the north, to the south, everywhere, they're going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. Okay. So let's quickly regroup, okay? Because we went to a lot of different places in our little travels over here. The issue on the table is a ben Noach. Does he bring an ola, or is he entitled to bring a shlamim? Okay, so the Gemara at this point in time points out that's a machlokes amarayim, whether ben Noach can bring an ola and a shlamim. So we turn to Hevel. So the Gemara says Hevel's not such a raya. It's not the biggest problem. So the Gemara says that look at the conversation between Moshe and Paro. The pasuk says, so the Gemara's answer is, but meanwhile, we're asking for Zvachim Va'olos. Now, Ol, of course, is an Ol. What is a Zevach? It's a shlamim. Seems to be a shlamim. Now, it's interesting because we are ben Noach, right? In other words, the Gemara is making the argument that ben Noach cannot bring shlamim, and the Gemara is questioning it from this story over here. Story's about us. But even in Egypt, we're also ben Noach, meaning we are not given the status of Yisraelim until after Matan Torah.
Why doesn't it go to the examples of the offerings that Avram and Yitzhak gave? Like,
because there's no pasuk that clearly indicates that it was a shlamim.
They're closer to Ben Noach.
No, I understand that, but that in other words, we're looking, the challenge over here is on shlamim. Can a Ben Noach offer a shlamim? That's the challenge. So all the karbanos were brought that were brought by the Avos are Olos. Yes, sir.
Couldn't the argument against the shlamim be due to the fact that they were prohibited from eating meat?
It seems to be that with Noach was given the permission to eat meat. In other words, before Noach, there was no license to eat meat, and Noach was given the permission to eat meat. And it's very interesting, by the way, because, no, it's a good point, because Hevel, who was before Noach, the Gemara entertained the idea that he brought a shlamim, which means that he ate meat. Okay? So Zvachim, so the Gemara's answer is like this, Zvachim la'achila va'olos la'akrava. So the Gemara says, no, Zvachim is... it's just for eating, and the olos for akrava. Okay. V'haksev Yisra, ikach Yisra, chosei Moshe olas v'achem. So the Gemara says, what about Yisro? Yisro brought ola uzvachem. So the Gemara's answer is, ha'ulachem matan Torah hu tichsev. Well, Yisro takes place after matan Torah. And we are now going to segue for a little bit of time.
So there are bonds that says it was before. What?
Yeah, well, he's not going to have a problem. He just won't agree. that'll be an easy solution. And the Gemara is going to segue now into a discussion of when did Yisro actually take place? When did the story of Yisro take place? So let me just give a little bit of background, and let's go through the Gemara. Parshas Yisro. Parshas Yisro opens up with the 18th perek of Shmos. Vayishma Yisro calling Mejan Chosei Moshe Yitzkol Asher Asal Lekim LaMoshe LeYisrael Amoki Osi Hashem Yisro MeMitzrayim. And then it goes on through a discussion. But then, okay, he brings back Zipporah, and he brings back his two sons, and he's so happy that he brings Karbanos, which is what the Gemara is pointing to over here. And it seems from the Pesukim that he brought a Karban Ola, and he also brought a Karban Shlamim as well. All right. Now.
Yeah, that feast that me and Moshe met, and they had a feast.
Correct. But in the Pesukim, it's very clear that he brought an Ola and a Shlamim. Now, chronologically, when did Yisro take...
For what is an Ola and what is a Shalami? Why two?
Voluntary. He was happy. He wanted to show his gratitude.
The reason behind Shalami is that he has peace of mind, right? But all of our, like, close to Hashem.
Closeness. Nedava. A gift to Hashem. Thank you to Hashem. So when did Parshas Yisro take place? So, if you look at the Pesukim and you follow the chronology of the Torah, it took place before Matan Torah. Because in the very next perek in Parshas Yisro, Perek Yates starts now with Maman Har Sinai. So Kipshut, or the simple pshat in the Torah is that Yisro takes place before Maman Har Sinai. What the Gemara is going to tell us is that that's not pshat, that's not simple. There's a machlokas, and there's an opinion out there that says that Yisro took place after Maman Har Sinai. In general, you should know. We should all know. There's a concept that the Gemara Pesachim tells us of Ein Mukdam Umukha B'Torah, that there is no chronology in the Torah. The Torah is not a history book. Torah is much more than that. And so just because the Torah presents us information in a certain order, in a certain chronology, we don't have to follow that chronology. Ein Mukdam Umukha B'Torah, that's a general rule. So you should also know, Rishonim, Rashi versus the Ramban, Rashi liberally applies that rule. You will find Rashi very often throughout Chumash say, don't worry about the chronology over here, don't worry about the chronology over here. And Rashi is very liberal in his application of the rule. The Gemara, by the way, just gives us the rule of Emukta Mamukha B'Torah, but the Gemara never actually tells us when to apply and when not to apply it. Now, there are certain times when it's obvious that you have to apply it, meaning the Torah itself dates out of chronology. So there are times when you have to apply it. But Rashi, however, is very liberal in his application. The Ramban on Chumash, which my friend Rabbi Moskowitz quoted yesterday, is very not liberal. I'd say he's conservative, extraordinarily conservative. He would say essentially, I will always assume, say in the positive, I will always assume that the Torah is speaking chronologically unless the Torah itself otherwise indicates. Okay. By dating. By its out of chronology dating. Okay, so that's the basic machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban. It's that there we've shown him. The machlokes goes much earlier than that. As we're going to see right about now in the Gemara. The Gemara itself is going to have a debate when Yisro actually takes place. Now, let's fit in this debate to our discussion over here. Our discussion in the Gemara is, can a ben Noach bring a Karban Shlamim? That's the issue on the table. So, if Yisro happens before Matan Torah, we have a problem. We have a big problem. Because he's a ben Noach. Not only is he a ben Noach, we're B'nai Noach.
He's not a Jew.
But even more than that, more fundamental, we're B'nai Noach, and yet we find we're bringing Shlamim. Okay, so that's going to be the problem. If, however, you maintain that Yisro takes place after Matan Torah, so then we're all fine. It's not going to be much of an issue, because that means that he's a convert and we're not in the status of B'nai Noach, etc., etc. Okay, let's do this inside. Hanich Laman Damar, we're in the Gemara. We're about 15 lines from the bottom of the page. Hanich Laman Damar Yisro, Achaman Torah, Yelaman Damar Yisro, Karaman Torah, He Michael Amemar. Deidmar, the Gemara introduces us to the Machlokas. B'nei Rabbi Chiv, Rabbi Yeshua, Ben Levi, Charamar Yisro, Karaman Torah, Hayav, Charamar Yisro, Achaman Torah, Hayav. Gemara says simply, it's a debate whether Yisro takes place after, before or after Matan Torah. So the Gemara answers very simply, we'll line it up. We'll line up the machlokas. Meaning, if you maintain that Yisro existed before Matan Torah, that same person is also going to maintain that B'nai Noach offered Shlamim. They're going to take the position that Hevel offered a Shlamim, that Yisro offered a Shlamim. Fine. Okay, so actually the Gemara comes out pretty neatly that the two machlokasim are parallel one with another. If you hold that Yisro was before Matan Torah, you're also going to hold that that B'nai Noach offered Shlamim. Kitanai. And the Gemara points out, this is a machlokas Tanayim. So in other words, I pointed out it's machlokas Rashi Ramban. It's a machlokas Amarayim. It's an antiquated machlok. It's machlokas Tanayim. Vayishma Yisro koin mejamashmu hashama uvav nizgayir. Yisro heard something. The Torah does not tell us what he heard. What did he hear that inspired him to become a ger? Rabbi Yoshua Amar Milchamas Amalek Shama Sharek Sibitzido Vayachalosh Yoshua Es Amalek Ves Amalek Fi Charav. So the one first opinion is, well, look at the Torah. Look at what takes place right before Parshas Yisro. And that's the last parak of Parshas Beshalach, and that's our war with Amalek. Rav Elazar Amar Dayamar Matan Torah Shama Uva. He hears about Matan Torah. Shechishenit Na Torah LeYisrael Hayakol HaHolech Misof Alam Ve'at Sofo. And now Rav Elazar Modai describes Matan Torah being a seminal event in history, a universal event. The voice of Akash Baruch Hu went and broadcasted. The nations of the world were gripped with fear in their heichal, in all of their, what's it called? I was going to say churches, palaces. Palaces. What's it called? Their,
Habitations.
Right. V'amru shira. And actually, everyone responded to with Shira Shenamar Behechal Kulam Kavod. In their Heichal, they all sang Kavod to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Niskap to Kulam Eitzel Bilam Arasha. They needed information. So where are they going to go to for information? So they go to Bilam. Bilam's going to provide them information. V'amr lo makol ha'amon asher shamanu shema mabo ba'la olam. So, you know, the rumor mill starts flying, you know. So, I heard a flood is coming. That's got to be the explanation. Hashem la mabo yashav amr lahem. So Bilam says to them, nah, that's not it. V'yeshav Hashem, v'yashav Hashem melech la'olam. Kvar nishba kadosh baruch hu sheinu mevi mabo la'olam. You know that's not going to happen. Kadosh baruch hu promised. Amru lo, so they said, it's the next rumor that they're going to churn out. Mabel shall mayim eino mevi, ava mabel shall eish mevi. Okay, I know. Water flood, I got it. No more water flood. Rainbow, yeah, we know that. We know the rainbow. But however, maybe mabel shall eish. Okay, but maybe a flood of fire. Shenemar ki be'eish Hashem nishpat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges with a fire. Amar lahem kvar nishpat she'eino mashchitz kol basar. Nope. It's not the issue is not water. That's not the issue. Kadosh Baruch Hu promised that he will not annihilate humanity. Good. Okay, so after they make all their suggestions and Bilam shoots down all the suggestions, so now they ask him, Bilam, okay, so you know the answer. So what is it? Ma kol hamon azeh sheshamanu amalehem chemda tova yesh lo bebeisken azeh sheitza gnuza etzlo tough kuf ayin dalad doros kodim shenivra ha'olam. Kadosh Baruch Hu had in his storehouse a treasure, a chemda tova, a beautiful treasure. He's been holding on to it for 974 generations. Anyone figured out the number yet? 974? No. Okay, so I'm going to explain. So, really, no? Okay. So, 974. Take the number 1,000. Subtract 974. So what are you left with?
26.
Okay? 26 generations from Adam to Moshe Rabbeinu. 10 generations from Adam to Noach, right? Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos. 10 generations from Noach to Avraham. 6 generations from Avraham to Moshe, right? Do it in your head. It works. It all works. So that's 26 generations. Now, so 26 plus 974, that gives you to 1,000. What's the pasuk saying to Tehillim? Rashi quotes it, second to last Rashi on the page, right? Davar tziva le'elef dor. This is the thing that I commanded for 1,000 generations. So there were, you know, so I don't know how to explain this well. So there, before Adam Arishon, there were 974 pre-generations. Right? I know what I'm saying, I just don't know how to articulate it. So they were, right? It's like negative numbers, if you will. Right? You say zero, and you have negative numbers, so 974 negative numbers. Add to that another 26 of the Adam of the positive numbers, and you get to Davar Tziva Le'Elavdor. Uvikesh Litna Levanov. And he wanted to give it to his... to his sons. Shenemar, Hashem Ozlam Oitain. So this is Bilam now finishing up his explanation to the Umos Olam. So now, Akash Baruch Hu took out his Chemda Tova, took out his treasure, meaning the Torah, and he gave it to the Jewish people. Miad Pischu Kulam the Amru. So they all opened up their mouth and they said, Vahashem Yavarech Es Amo Vashalom. Okay, good. So that's the second opinion, okay? So again, what did Yisro hear? So opinion number one, the opinion of Rav Yeshua is Amalek, Melchemes Amalek. Rav Elazar Modai says Mamad Har Sinai. And then the third opinion, Rav Elazar Ben Yaakov Omer, right? Yes. Gears on the bottom. Rav Elazar Ben Yaakov Omer Kriyas Yamsuf Shama Uva. Shenem Rav Yikishmo Komache Omer Yavaf Rachav Azona Amar Lishluchi Yoshua. Right, that spilling of the Red Sea. So that had a big reverberation around the world. Rachav Azona, she said, "Kishamanu was Hashem Hovish Hashem es Mei Yamsuf." We heard that Hashem dried up the Yamsuf. Okay, so that's it. So those are the three possibilities in terms of what Yisro heard and what caused them to come out. So you understand why we're bringing all this in here, because exactly. What we've been saying, that's a machlokis tanayim. It is a machlokis when did the parsha of Yisro take place? So if he heard about Mamad Har Sinai, that obviously means that he existed after the whole events of Yisro took place after Mamad Har Sinai. The Torah places it before Mamad Har Sinai. Good. Ain Mukta Mamukha but Torah. Fine, that's not a problem. And you see that other tanayim say no, it was a response to Amalek, or it was a response to Kriyas Yamsuf. You're not on your Chumash yet today, do you? Yes. Your Chumash has Rashi or no? All right, so, I was going to remind myself. Remind myself what Rashi says. Okay. While we're waiting for Chumash, 2 minutes of heresy? Mm-hmm. Sure, why not? I'll make it quick. There's a Drush or a Chaim. Rabbi Saul Lifshitz wrote the commentary to Mishnayos. It's a popular commentary. It's called the Achanu Boaz. Maybe people heard of it. You should have. It's a very popular commentary to Mishnayos. The classic is the Bar Tanura, the Rav Avajim Bar Tanura, but the Rabbi Saul Lifshitz wrote a commentary to it. So in his day, he was 17th, 18th century, sometime around there. So you had enlightenment come into the world, and people discovered, people were discovering bones of prehistoric animals that had last, you know, that existed for years before, you know, and even back then. So obviously, it brought about the tremendous philosophical issues, like how did these animals exist? I was told the world was 5,770 years old, and I mean, now it is, but I'm saying even back then, I mean, you know, and how could you have these animals that the, you know, quote-unquote scientists say are millions of years old? And, okay, so obviously it's a challenge, it's a serious challenge. So, on one Pesach, so you saw Meir Lifshitz gets up, and he starts speaking to his congregation. And he said things which they never heard before. never heard somebody get up and say that before, And he spoke about it on the Pesach, on Yontif. It was on Yontif, or maybe it was Chol HaMoed, whatever. It was a time when no one could take notes and no one could write it down. So it's a true story. So someone said after Shabbos, would you write that down? He said sure, and he wrote it down. And it's entitled the Drush Or HaChaim. So where do you find it? So open up your Mishnah Yach and Boaz. And you're going to find it's an essay at the end of, they put it at the end of Seder Nezikin. So one of the things he says in it, okay, I think I'm done. Okay, 2 minutes are up. All right, so, no, I'll tell you. One of the things he says in it is that Adam Arishon was not the first man. So, what's it called? Very controversial stuff. So, but, he's a Talmud Chacham, he's a, you know, Shkafically on track, but, you know, he says some things which are a little bit controversial. So he says, we're not the first man. How do I know that Adam HaRishon was not the first man? So he says, Davar Tzilot Tzivala Elav Dor. So he says, it was 1,000 generations the Torah was given. What do you mean 1,000 generations the Torah was given? Count it up, it's only 26 from Adam to Moshe Rabbeinu. So he makes the suggestion that Adam HaRishon was the first of this and of this world, and he says, and that this was not the first world, and there were other worlds that were created. Please don't tell me this is the first time you're hearing this, and if it is, okay, fine. Anyway, it's the right. Bari Olam was Machriban. Correct. He created other worlds, and good. I'm not qualified to really talk about it, but just, you know, it's certainly interesting. Okay, back to the Gemara. So the Rashi, thank you. Rashi and Chumash. What does Rashi say regarding Yisrael? What did he hear? Vayishma Yisrael mashmo shama uva. Rashi and Chumash. Kriyas Yamsuf umechames Amalek. Rashi takes two out of the three opinions of the Gemara, which would then seem to indicate that Rashi places this parsha before Maamad Har Sinai, which would be inconsistent with his general liberal application of Ein Muktam Umur Chabitar. Okay.
Or there could be another reason that you don't think of that he didn't mention.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. Good. All right. Let's go back to the Gemara. We have much more to cover. On this last point over here about the Kriyas Yamsuf, so they said Rachav reported to the two spies that were sent to her, you know, the Kriyas, everyone's talking about Kriyas Yamsuf. So Maishna Hasam de Amar, I'm sorry, Dechsev Elohaya Bam Od Ruach Umaishna Hacha. The Gemara quotes a number of psukim, but there seems to be somewhat of a discrepancy between the way she said it versus the way they said it, meaning the spy said it. She said, "Velo kama od ruach ba'ish," right? And it's just a little bit different, but the Gemara notes the difference to afila ikshu yinami lo akshu. So the Gemara says Rachav had inside information that Rashi says, took a look at the top Rashi on the page, "Evel atashmish lo akshu." The Hishai Seyodas Vyodas Badavar. Okay, so her business was prostitution, and she knew certain things which were extraordinarily intimate, but she knew those things. And so she reported to them that they were so scared that they couldn't even have relations. So, yeah. Omina Yada. So the Gemara says, now how did she know this? So the Gemara gives the answer that we all knew. Da'amar Mar in Lacha Kol Sarvana Gishla Ba'al Rachavazona. She serviced everybody, says the Gemara. Amru bas yuchanim haisek shiatsu yisrael mitzrayim. She was 10 years old when the Jews left Egypt. V'zamsa komem shana shayu yisrael b'midbar. She was in business for 40 years, and she started working at 10 years of age. Acher nun shana nizgayra. Now, after 40 years, and the Jews came in, so she converted. Amru, so she's 50 years of age when she converts. Amru yehemachol li b'schar chevel chalonu pishtem. And she says, and she wanted to do tshuva gemura, she wanted to do a total transformation in, and the chevel chalon upishtan, the window, the flax that she hid the spies with, the rope that she let them come down over the side, all those should be an act of tshuva. Rashi explains beautifully, Rashi quotes a medrash over here, that these three items are what she sinned with, so she, right over her 40 years of being in the business, so when she wants to do tshuva, she uses the same exact objects in order to do tshuva gemura. Right? It's take a look at Rashi for more details. Amar mar ve'ovde kochavim bezman hazereshan lasos kain. All right. If you're a non-Jew, you're allowed to do all this, meaning you're allowed to offer karbanos nowadays as well. There's no shchut echutz. For the non-Jewish population, they want to offer carbon nowadays, they may absolutely do so.
They can be shlamim?
I would say no. I would say no. Look, it comes back to the machlokas that the Gemara had on Amar Nal.
So at the time of the English, they were not able to do shlamim. Just Olam.
It seems that way. So it seems that way. I'm not 100% sure. So Amar Mar Vavdei Kochavim Bezman Hazereshan Lasos Kemi Nahani Milik Datan Rabbanan Dabei Al Bnei Yisrael Mitzuvim Al Shchut Echutz Vein Al Vavdei Kochavim Mitzuvim Al Shchut Echutz. So the Gemara says that Bnei Yisrael were commanded not to engage in Shchut Echutz, but this doesn't apply to the Umos HaOlam, right? Parshas Achrimos. So if you're a non-Jew and you want to offer a carbon, so the Gemara says, Gesente, hey, you have every right to do so. Amar Rav Yaakov Baracha, Amar Rav Asi, also l'sayan. However, we can't be misayeya. We can't assist. Right? Rashi writes, B'shah sister Abamus kegom b'zman hazeh, d'kdushas Yerushalayim, ein achareh heter. So we cannot assist nowadays in the non-Jews actually doing an avodah. The lasso shechusam, we can't even act as their agent. Amarava ula urun he lehu share. But you want to coach them up, right? They want to know how to do it, so you can give them a how-to instruction manual, right? You can coach them up, but you can't actually help them.
They can do the shechusam themselves. So the thing is, if you think about it, definitely cannot do shlamim, because if they do shechita themselves, how could they come and eat from their shechita?
No, we're not going to eat. We're not going to eat from it.
But when they offer shlamim.
So I'm not sure if they can offer shlamim.
I'm saying, but I'm saying there's no further evidence that they cannot offer shlamim.
It seems to be. It certainly seems to be that way. Ki hadi for hormez imedish for malka. So if for hormez, we hear a lot of her in the Gemara. Right, she was, I think, a Persian king. I'm not 100% sure, but she was a mother of Shvar Malka. I'm sorry, Shvar Malka was the king. The mother of Shvar Malka was Ifra Hormuz. She was a very religious woman. And the Gemara very often talks about how she really committed herself to things of religious nature. Shadja Korban Ala Rava. So she sends a carbon to Rava. Shachle asku ne'alei l'shem shemayim. The Rava says, "You offer it." Meaning, right? We can't do it nowadays. We're Amoraim. We live in Bavel. There's no Beis Hamikdash anymore. We can't do it anymore, right? But you do it. You offer it. So Amalul Rav Safra, Ula Rav Acha Baruna Zilu v'Dibur Trei Ume Guvai V'Chazu Hecha Damaska. So I want you, right, go and speak to two young people, right? Ume, it means young man. Gulvai, Rashi says they're Ben Gilo. They're the same age. Why are they going to be the emissaries, these two young men? Rashi just simply says that it's
symmetry.
Right, symmetry. Right, we're going to use Rashi's language. Shekein noy ledover. Right? It's nice. It's a nice way to do it. V'chazu hecha damaska, and you're going to show them how to do this. Meaning, we can't offer the carbon, but you'll take the carbon back to her, and you'll show her how to do it. So damaska yamaster tom v'shak l'tzi v'chadati. So you're going to collect wood that was never used before. So in other words, you want to burn the carbon. Again, it seems like Ola. Seems that way. And you want to use wood that was never burned before. Dry the fire using marachadita. Rashi describes it. I don't know what Rashi is describing over here. Some sort of flint that was used to make a fire. And you they off the carbon. Absolutely, you have every right to do so. Amalei Abaye, Kaman Karav Elazar ben Shimon. Now this takes us to a side topic. We'll pause over here in the Gemara. We'll continue tomorrow. It takes us to a side topic about why were the instructions to use new wood, right? As opposed, you can't recycle wood for your carbon. And all right, so that discussion we'll talk about tomorrow about recycling wood. Okay, very good. So today we talked about the carbonates that were brought before the Mishkan. We talked about the criteria of the carbon, very very loose criteria. We got onto the basic discussion of today of Ein Mukta Mamucha B'Torah. There's no chronology in the Torah. Machlokas Tanayim, Machlokas Amorayim, Machlokas Rashi Ramban, which we spoke about today. What did Yisrael hear about that inspired him to do tshuva? And then we're going to go on to the topic, we're going to continue the topic today of non-Jews offering karbanos bizman hazeh. Okay, a lot of topics. Good.